Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
And so since February is Black History Month.
Yes.
Which I personally believe we should never have just a month. It should be, we should teach history 12 months out of the year.
Right.
We shouldn't, but thank God we're at least talking about it for
at
a
least,
month.
Right.
But we should not separate our histories. Our history should be all pulled together.
Everything.
Because if he's my brother, then we need to learn about my brother's journey with myself. And, but until then, take your other brother 101 at University of.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can get it all.
But learn.
But learn it. And so Black History Month. And so I'm looking right here, man, John, you know, I have my notes on this that, you know, Dr. Avita King, I love Dr. Avita King. And she has a book out. Her book is called
King Rules.
Yes. King Rules. She talks about that book in the book about, you know, Dr. King Jr. Her father was Dr. King's brother. Of course, her grandfather was their father. And
Daddy King.
Yes. Yes, Daddy King was her grandfather. Took me a moment. And the lineage is written in this book. It's pretty cool because you can actually see, I really believe that Dr. King was an apostle, you know, touched by God to be able to bring us to the original tent of this nation. And he lived in such a way that trying to find my notes here, in such a way that he stayed within the laws of the land and the Constitution, and he also stayed under the laws of God in view of his mercy and grace, like all of us. You know, read about David. None of us perfect.
Right.
But the statistics are saying now, you know, 70% of African-American children are born into fatherless homes. But I think it's 46%. We'll see Dr. King talk about it right here. I think it's 30-something percent of African-American children, black children, are being killed in America in the womb before they get a chance to live. Black History Month, listen, they're trying to make black children history. We need to step up and say, stop the massacre of the African-American children in our nation. And it makes you think about this. And we talked about Winston Churchill. He was for eugenics. He supported eugenics. Eugenics is where Margaret Sanger, the one that founded, you know, this Planned Parenthood, her whole point was trying to eliminate the African race, the black race. I mean, she talked about, you know, the terrible things that she said, and eugenics was a way to be able to do that, and abortion was a way to do that, and they're doing it today. As a matter of fact, watch Dr. King now.
February is Black History Month, a time when we celebrate the strides and contributions African Americans have made throughout our nation's history. Today, we're looking into an epidemic that is making black people history, abortion. The CDC's latest abortion surveillance report shows between 2007 and 2010, nearly 36% of all abortions in the U.S. were performed on black children. And joining us now to weigh in on the situation is pro-life activist Dr. Avita King. Thanks for being with us, Dr. King.
Hello, Mark. Hello, everyone.
Why do you think black mothers are turning to abortion at such a high rate?
I once met a lady, very recently, actually, during Black History Month this year. And she told me, after she heard my talk, she said, I've had 19 secret abortions. I used it as birth control. And we began to talk, and the deceptions that have come to the entire community of America, but certainly the African-American community, from Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion provider in America, and other abortion providers, is that abortion is a means of birth control. Of course, we know that that's a very deadly means. We've also been told by Planned Parenthood in the African-American community, and of course in the various communities of our country, that abortion is health care, along with the harmful chemicals and shots and devices that are used to prevent pregnancy. So African-Americans being targeted also by eugenics and genocide, we were told we were sold a very bad product, and that being abortion and other abortive facets as health care. Abortion is not health care. And these other chemicals and products are not, they're a bad product. I'm working with the project through Priests for Life, Healing the Shockwaves of Abortion. And Janet Morana has written a wonderful book there, Recall Abortion. So African Americans, in order to lower the population of African Americans, Margaret Sanger came up with, during her lifetime, as she founded Planned Parenthood, all of these schemes, which included abortion. And African Americans have not been educated to that truth.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about Planned Parenthood. The organization's founder, Margaret Sanger, like you mentioned, she once said, colored people are like human weeds and are to be exterminated. Do you think young people know about her beliefs?
But what we're discovering here in America, young people who have been born in America and have the wonderful privilege of being natural United States citizens don't understand our Constitution, don't understand about the eugenics movement. There's so much that our children are not being taught. That certainly is in the African American community, but every community. And so whether we are now, according to Acts 17:26, we are one blood. Of one blood, God made all people. So we think that we're separate races and we have all of these issues and lack of understanding. And without understanding, the purpose of birth control is not to just help a family. It doesn't help anyone. It kills babies and it hurts and sometimes kills mothers, deprives fathers of a future. So these are things that are not being taught in our nation. My uncle, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the brother of my father, Reverend Alfred Daniel Williams King, and of course, Daddy King being their father, very pro-life Baptist preachers, men of God. Now, were they perfect? Absolutely not. But serving a perfect God, they were on guard against abortion. My uncle said, we must learn to live together as brothers, and I added sisters, or perish as fools. If we can't live together, if we continue to abort our children, we'll be in trouble. He had another quote, the Negro cannot win if he's willing to sacrifice the futures of his children for immediate personal comfort and safety. And of course, we know that many times that is why women choose abortion.
Dr. King, what can Christians do to help stop this abortion epidemic?
As Christians, we must pray. We must recognize that we are brothers and sisters. We must remember God's word where he says, choose life. And if we're doing that and if we're praying and we're providing the right types of teachings for our young people, for example, if they are taught very well about God's plan for a family, and that means that a man will marry a woman, together they will have children. They'll raise those children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and those children will grow up and continue in God's way. As that happens, we won't need abortions, and so certainly sexual purity until marriage is part of that. But praying, teaching, instructing, but telling the truth in love. And as we do that, we'll see that abortion can, in America, become unthinkable in the 21st century.
What kind of resistance have you encountered personally with your pro-life ministry?
Well, I'm actually post-abortive myself. That means I actually had abortions myself. And because I did have those abortions, sometimes I get resistance in our community. When I get that resistance from women who don't want me telling about how my abortions hurt me and how I had to go to God in 1983 when I was born again and to repent and be healed. Healing is available to us. And so as I teach and I tell and I candidly tell my experiences and the healing and the love of God, then the resistance begins to go away. And women and men, young boys and young girls, they'll say, can God forgive me? Can God help me? Can someone help me so I don't have to abort my child? We must tell the truth, but we're speaking the truth in love, and God will meet us there.
All right, Dr. Alveda King, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time today.
Thank you. God bless you.
You too.
Wow.
So you're seeing our book right here, King's Rules, and make sure you get that book. You can get it, find it on VFNTV.com, go to The Torch, or you can get it at any bookstore anywhere. But it'll really encourage you. It's about 10 rules that the King family lives by. And you know, I just think a lot of the family, it's amazing what they've done and what they have stood for. And just
the legacy continues with Doc Alveda.
Yes. But you're looking at, Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, calling African Americans weeds. She wanted to destroy them and Churchill was for eugenics too. That's the same kind of thing, making sure people can have children and that type of thing.
Wow.
And then you're looking at 36% of black children are being killed in the womb now. And that's what she wanted. That's what Margaret Sanger wanted when she originally started this.
Yeah.
You know, we need to stand up. Dear God, we want abortion to end. We need these 36% of these children we need them to live and not die. What's going on here? The same thing that happened in Africa when the Brits went in there trying to colonize it, and they were trying to figure out how do you determine what African blood is in whose veins, because they can't vote. Mm-hmm. They're not valuable. And that same spirit was coming right into America and through Margaret Sanger. And even today, to this very day, like Dr. King was just saying, 36% of black children are being killed in the womb. That's what she wanted. That's what the adversary wants. We want them to live. We want every black child, every African-American child to live. We want That's families right. to come together. And listen, if we turn our hearts to God and we start seeing ourselves as our blood, we all bleed red, and we're all made in the image and likeness of God, and that we can exchange blood and live, because if you need blood, I can give you blood. You need blood, vice versa. We can give each other blood. It's because God created us in his image. Life is in the blood. We're the same. One blood, as she talked about. Once we understand that, we'll come together and we'll see a great end time harvest. More we get back from the break. So, bringing this whole thing in these last two programs, hopefully you caught both of them, getting this history to begin to understand, where we are. And if our history brings us to a place, and what I find out is when we start allowing man to reconcile things versus God to reconcile things at the cross, it gets really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
But God says he makes the two one. He makes the two enemy adversaries one at the cross. That's where reconciliation can take place, and the one that will only work where we become one, a new man in Christ Jesus. And so we're looking at here, so then when the president did go on the apology tour, one of the apologies I believe he made in front of the Washington Monument, I can't remember where it was, I tried to find it, but sorry, was he said to other countries, said that, America's still working its way through, some of our past history. And we're still working out, equal treatment for the First Nation people and for working our way out of slavery. And some of the words he used, it wasn't the word slavery, I believe, but in other words, the race issues that we had in America, we're still working our way through that. And for us not to say that that's a reality, if people are not going to believe you when you say what the truth is, if you don't acknowledge the truth when somebody else is speaking truth, if somebody else is speaking truth, we got to be able to say that's truth. The old judo thing that says, go with the part they're giving you and just, continue the movement. Let them know that's true. It's true. You can say if it wasn't your experience, you can say it's not your experience. But if it's true, I mean, listen to what I just told you in the last two programs. This is true. There's a reason why that bus went back. Get this thing out the White House. And there's a reason why the Emancipation Proclamation's hanging in the Oval Office. And there's a reason why Dr. King's bust is now sitting there in the office. And it is an amazing sight to see the first African-American president right next to the Emancipation Proclamation that Abraham Lincoln signed, and seeing Dr. King's bust there while he's meeting with former presidents like George H. Bush and Governor Jeb Bush. I had a picture. It's an amazing sight when you see the journey that even Churchill was trying to figure out with this constitution in Africa. How can you figure out to make sure that anybody that has African blood can't vote? That's what they were trying to do. And so I can see where, you know, we got some things to be able to work through. And if we can talk about these things, if we can talk about these things, then we can get through them. It looks like, you know, potentially that, you know, all this stuff is going on to bring us to a better place, to force us to a place to deal with things we didn't deal with before. And if you look historically at how God does things, I mean, he will use people out of control. He'll use people who deny him and serve other gods to be able to discipline his people to bring them into a place of compliance in dealing with things. And then after his people repent, then he deals with the people who touch God's people.
Yeah.
But he does that. It's just kind of how the Lord does that. Wouldn't it be cool if we got ahead of time, we knew the season that we were in, and we go, wait a minute, I think I got it. And we pass the test without having to go through deep trials. And he says, when you see these things happen, if you repent, if you acknowledge that, hey, I've sinned, that I've gone away from you, and we turn away from these ways he's letting us know, these are wrong ways that historically has been happening and still presently been accepted in different places, and we humble ourselves, he said he will forgive us, he will forgive our and heal our land. We need healing here. The whole deliverance of America didn't come with the killing of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. That didn't solve. That wasn't like, it's not over. It's like it got put on pause. But we can begin to deal with that today as the church. We can begin to say, you know what? Unity, we need to come together. One God, one Lord, one body as brothers and sisters. Let's pray now. Father God, Lord, I thank you for our audience. Lord, help us to come together as one people, Lord, one blood. The blood of Jesus Christ over us all that makes us equal in you. Help us to honor each other, Father God, and heal us from these crazy, oppressive, evil things that have happened in the world, Father God, and help us as the church to step outside of that and be a new nation, a new ethnos in you, Father God, and deliver your awesome gospel of salvation to all mankind, God. We just ask you for revival, Lord. End this abortion, Lord.
Yes.
Send revival. In Jesus' name.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.